The Book of Mormon tells a most remarkable story about a father who loved his son so much that he gave him his own name. The father was a great high priest in the land who spent much of his days administering to the spiritual needs of the people. How disappointed he must have been when his son chose not to follow his teachings. As any righteous father, he pleaded with the Lord for a change to come in the life of his son. In answer to his prayers, an angel of the Lord stood before this young man and said, "Behold, the Lord God hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, who is thy father, for he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to a knowledge of the truth." The scriptures record how the prayers of a righteous father had been answered. History attests to the power of righteous leadership in the home. I want to direct my remarks today to just a portion of this vast congregation. I want to speak to you who bear the great and noble titles of husband and father. I find myself greatly concerned with what I see about me. Man, woman, young adult, youth, and child, all groping to find their identity in a troubled world. I stand before you today to accuse many of the husbands and fathers who are in the sound of my voice and throughout the world of failing in their two major God-given responsibilities. The reason for most of the problems we find in the world today must be laid at your door. Divorce, infidelity, dishonesty, use of drugs, deterioration of family life, loss of identity, insecurity, unhappiness have resulted from your lack of leadership in the home. Husbands and fathers, could we again remind you of your role and your responsibility? First, as a husband, the first instructions given to man and woman immediately following the creation was, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So God, in his divine plan, ordained that marriage was to bring about the basic organizational unit, the family. The role of the husband and wife was clearly defined from the very beginning. In the Lord's plan, these roles are unchanged and eternal. A prophet has said of womanhood, "A beautiful, modest, gracious woman is creation's masterpiece." To safeguard this masterpiece, the Lord has given to man the duty and responsibility of being the provider and protector. Husbands, if the Lord's plan is to work, you must learn how to perform in the leadership role He has designed for you. Could I remind you of some of these requirements? First, let me tell you an experience related by Emma Ray McKay, the wife of President David O. McKay. Last summer, on reaching Los Angeles, we decided to have our car washed at one of these quickies on Wilshire Boulevard. As I watched the last part of the operation from a bench, to my surprise, a tiny voice at my elbow said, "I guess that man over there loves you." I turned and saw a little curly-headed child with great brown eyes who looked to be about 7 years of age. "What did you say?" I asked. "I said, I guess that man over there loves you." "Oh, yes, he loves me. He's my husband." "But why do you ask?" A tender smile lighted up his face, and his voice softened as he said, because of the way he smiles at you. Do you know, I'd give anything in this world if my pop would smile at my mom that way. Oh, I'm sorry if he doesn't. I guess you're not going to get a divorce, he questioned. Of course not. We've been married over 50 years. Why do you ask? Because everyone around here gets a divorce. My pop is getting a divorce from my mom. I love my pop, and I love my mom. His voice broke, and tears welled up in his eyes. But he was too much of a little man to let them fall. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Then he came very close and whispered confidentially in my ear, you'd better hurry out of this place, or you'll get a divorce too. Husbands, are your actions at all times a reflection of your love for your wife? If that had been you at that car wash, would that little boy have noticed the same tender love in so much in abundance? Now, second is your responsibility in providing peace and security in your home. It is your duty to provide adequately for your family. You must prepare yourself for this responsibility and have the ambition to see that it is accomplished. Your wife, so long as she is on this earth, should have the comforting assurance that so long as you're healthy and well, you'll take care of her first and above all others. She should not be forced into the labor market unless you become incapacitated. She must be allowed to fulfill her role as the Lord intended it for her. Third, it is a 24-hour-a-day job to show appreciation and consideration for her. The Lord has warned you in the Scriptures by saying, we have learned by sad experience that it is the nature and disposition of almost all men, as soon as they get a little authority, as they suppose, they immediately begin to exercise unrighteous dominion. No power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion, long-suffering, by gentleness, by meekness, and by love unfeigned. She is not your chattel. She is not required to follow you in unrighteousness. She is your wife, your companion, your best friend, your full partner. The Lord has blessed her with great potential, talent, and ability. She too must be given the opportunity of self-expression and development. Her happiness should be your greatest concern. Learn how to magnify both of the roles in order that husband and wife can be found having fulfilling and happy lives together. Brethren, your first and most responsible role in life and in the eternities is to be a righteous husband. Now, second only to the title of husband is that of father. Next only to eternal life, the greatest of all gifts that our Father in heaven can bestow on man is the opportunity of being blessed with sons and daughters. Every healthy and normal son of God should have the joy of bestowing the following gifts on his children. First, an honored and respected name. I'll be eternally grateful to a father who thought enough of me to give me his name. It was a name of honor and respect in the community in which I grew up. It carried before it the title of bishop from the time I was 6 months old until just before I left to go on my mission. How proud I was of his service. I was pleased that he had the patience to involve me in his responsibilities. Working on a welfare farm, cleaning a chapel, balancing the ward's financial records, carrying a sack of flour to the widow, etc., were all part of my early life. I was with him so much, I received the nickname of Bishop. I attempted to wear it with pride and honor. It had the effect of making me reach a little higher. I wanted to try to be on the same plane as my father. Should not every child have such an opportunity? Fathers, is it not your obligation to give your children an honored and respected name? Second, every child needs a sense of security. I often think of the security of our old family home. It was a fortress against the adversary. Each morning and evening, it was blessed by the priesthood as we would kneel in family prayer. That power was also manifest as my father blessed his family in time of need. Fathers, is it not your obligation to give your children a home blessed with the power of the priesthood? Third, an opportunity for development. My children taught me a great lesson one day. We had moved from California to New York, where I'd accepted an employment opportunity. And we were in the process of finding a new home. We started close into the city, but as each day that passed, we moved further out to find a home more suited to our needs. In Connecticut, we found just the one. It was a beautiful home, nestled in New England's radiant forests. We were all pleased with the selection. The final test before making an offer for purchase was to ride the train into New York to check out the commuting time. I made the trip and returned very discouraged. The trip required an hour and a half each way. I returned to the motel where my family was waiting for me, and gave them a choice of having a father or the new home. Much to my surprise, they said, "We'll take the home. You're not around much anyway." The shock of that statement was overwhelming to me. If their statement was true, I needed to repent fast. My children deserved a father. Is it not your obligation as fathers to spend as much time as possible with your children, to teach them honesty, industry, and morality? Now, fourth, give your children the opportunity of having a joyful, happy childhood. The priesthood manual a few years ago quoted a story written in 1955 by Brian S. Hinckley. It is as follows. 326 school children in a district near Minneapolis were asked to write anonymously just what each thought of his father. The teacher hoped that by reading the essays, it might attract the fathers to at least one Parent and Teachers Association meeting. It did. They came in $400 cars and $4,000 cars. Bank presidents, laborers, professional men, clerks, salesmen, meter readers, farmers, utility magnates, merchants, bakers, tailors, manufacturers, and contractors. Every man with a definite estimation of himself in terms of his money, his skills, and his righteousness. The president of the PTA picked at random from a stack of papers. "I like my daddy," she read. The reasons were many. "He builds me a dollhouse. He took me coasting. He taught me how to shoot. He helps me with my schoolwork. He takes me to the park. He gives me a pig to fatten and sell." The essays were reduced to, "I like my daddy. He plays with me." Not one child mentioned his home, car, neighborhood, food, or clothing. Fathers went out of that meeting in two classes, where they came in from many walks in life. Companions to their children are strangers to their children. No man is too rich or too poor to play with his children. Now, I'm aware how concerned each of us are today about the leadership we find in the world. To change the head of a nation, state, or community towards righteous leadership may require our earnest efforts for years. But there is something we can change today to make the world a better place in which to live. Husbands and fathers, the power is within you as bearers of the priesthood. Enjoy the inspiration of God, our eternal Father, to lead, guide, and direct you in leading your families in righteousness. You stand at the head of the only organization I know anything about that is promised to be eternal. Should not that charge and responsibility of being the head of a household receive your top priority in life? God bless you to understand your duties and responsibilities to become righteous husbands and fathers. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.